were listening to music of Eric Satie, La Piccadilly, and Charles Titchener joins us. He is a pianist, a singer, a playwright, a performer. His new one-man show is called Cabaret and the Spirit of Montmartre, and it is this Friday and Saturday at 7 o'clock and Sunday at 2 at the Santa Fe Playhouse. Welcome.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
So this cabaret scene that you were kind of, this French cabaret scene that you are depicting was, I guess, a sort of late 19th, early 20th century phenomenon?
Yeah, it started around the Chat Noir, which was the flagship for the cabarets of this period, opened around 1881.
And what is it about that period and that scene that inspires you to make this performance? Tell us about it.
Well, at the whole Paris was at that time pretty much the creative center of Western civilization. And Montmartre was the creative center of Paris. And the cabaret scene was a wonderful place where bohemians hung out, all the artists, all of the sculptors, the writers, the songwriters, the singers. That's where they all hung out. And it was a very, very rich time because you realize, Mary Charlotte, with no telephone and no TV, people went to the cabarets and they went to the cafes to hang out. And this was a really rich, rich crucible of creativity this time.
It's interesting how those times happen in a very concentrated way during certain eras in history, and all these famous artists and writers and poets and sculptors, as you say, came out of it. I was reading a little bit of history about it, and one of the poets had literally had his ink pot on his table so that he could write poetry in the cafe.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, so you might be sitting there in a cafe with Claude Debussy, or a cabaret with Claude Debussy sitting next to you, or the Richard Wagner, or one of the great poets of the time, Charles Baudelaire, because this is where people went for their creative expression. And all of the cabarets had a piano. So I've spent most of my life playing piano in bars and cafes and cruise ships of one sort or another. So, my grandparents were French Canadian, I have kind of a love, you could say it's kind of in my blood, for this French culture.
Yeah.
So you take the French language, you take a piano, you take a cabaret setting and people, and I'm there. I find it very fascinating.
Now, what is the style of music that you will be playing and that was played at that time?
What style of music? Well, these are mainly cabaret songs.
So cabaret songs, are they always sung?
Usually, yeah. Some of them were recited. There was some poetry going on, too. Let me see if I can give you an example. One of the songs that I do is called Les Canuts, which means the silk makers. Now, you have to keep in mind what differentiated these performers from the regular mainstream performers was they were edgy, they were socially satirical, they were anti-everything, anti-military, anti-religion, all of it. So this song, Les Canuts, is called, translates into the silk makers, and the silk makers have this to say. If you wish to be in the church, you need to have beautiful vestments of gold, and we will weave them for you, even though we don't even have a shirt to wear. We are the silk makers, and we are naked. And if you wish to serve in the government, you need to have a beautiful coat with beautiful ribbons to display, and we will make them for you, even though when we are buried, we don't even have a sheet to be buried in. But our time will come, and your time will be gone, and when that happens, we will gladly weave you a shroud for the old world, because even now you can hear the storm grumbling, and the storm is us, and we are the silk makers, and we are naked.
Wow. And now, are you singing this in French?
Yeah.
And are you providing translations for us non... How does that work?
Well, I kind of underscore on the piano, and I kind of give you the English sense of the song as I underscore on the piano, and then I sing it for you in French. Now, you understand it's my own interpretation.
Right.
I'm not trying to give you the exact sound of how these performers, what it sounded like.
Are there any extant recordings of...
Yeah, my friend Anne gave me a wonderful recording called L'Esprit Montmartrois. Could you say that for me, Mary Charlotte? L'Esprit Montmartrois.
L'Esprit Montmartrois.
Oh, your accent is beautiful.
I don't speak French.
Well, you do now.
I love the sound of French, and I love the sound of singing in French.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So I... One of the... ways you asked me how did I get inspired to do this?
Yeah.
Well, my friend Anne gave me this CD, and it's an old clunky recording. I mean, really ancient. And but to really hear these singers sing this stuff with piano accompaniment, so old, but you can hear the spirit come through the music. And that's what's so exciting.
Was most of it involved in either social commentary, political satire,
absolutely,
that kind of thing?
Oh, totally social satire, commentary. And most of it was very anti-bourgeois.
Yeah.
You see, you had this rising class from the because as a result of the Industrial Revolution called the bourgeois. And the Bohemians, there's always been sort of this conflict or this polarity between the Bohemian world and the bourgeois world, and the cabaret people were definitely part of the Bohemian world, and they loved to make fun of the bourgeois. And, for example, in one of the popular cabarets that I talk a lot about in my show, is called Le Chat Noir. The MC was named Rodolphe Sali, and so he would welcome his bourgeois guest very satirically. And he would say, ah, make way, the bourgeois pigs have arrived. Make way, welcome your esteemed electoral highness. So they made fun of him, and the bourgeois people loved it. And they showed up night after night because they knew they were coming to be insulted in a playful way.
Right. That's very interesting. I was going to say, maybe they weren't making a lot of friends, but they were.
Oh, yeah. Because, and also when the cabarets first started, when the Chat Noir opened in 1881, it was originally a literary club, a group of artists, and they really didn't want the general public to come in. It was really for themselves. It was exclusive. It had a certain intellectual snobbery and cultural exclusivity. But everybody in Paris wanted to know, what's going on in that cabaret? Can we come too? We want to be a part of this. So when the bourgeois people came in, they would kind of gently poke fun at them.
Very interesting. Is there anything that you would call comparable that's happening today?
Absolutely not. Because, well, part of my rant in my show is like, you know, we go downtown and people just sitting around watching TV.
Right.
These cabarets were on fire. They were edgy. They were deliciously irreverent. Probably not a place to take the wife and kids necessarily because of the irreverence. They weren't necessarily bawdy. It wasn't burlesque. It was intellectual. It was referred to as the cabaret artistique. They called it the cabaret artistique. So it was more the thinkers, the philosophers, the poets, the songwriters, and they all had something to say. And that's what appeals to me with these French cabaret artists. They wanted to say something with their art. It wasn't just a matter of standing up on a stage and singing a pretty song. Oh, no. They definitely had a point of view.
Now, how have you structured your one-man show? Are you telling a story?
It's a combination of things. It's, first of all, it's a cabaret show itself. It's piano and singing. And I'm taking my 7-foot grand piano to the Santa Fe Playhouse.
Wow.
And I need Mary Charlotte. Do you have a truck I could borrow?
Not handy.
Okay. And it's partially lecture. And it's partially a performance piece because I act out some of these characters. And it's also multimedia because I have a large screen and I show you images on the screen of these people. many, many cabaret performers that I talk about, and then I give you samples of their work. And I show you images of the Shanwa Journal. The Shanwa, which means the black cat, was the first revolutionary anarchist cabaret. They had their own newspaper. And I talk about that. I show you pictures of it. I give you little samples of things that you might see in the Shanwa Journal and tell you about who was the editor and anecdotal material.
Right. Yeah, the black cat image is probably familiar to many people because who was it? One of the French artists of that period painted it, and it was on a lot of posters and so on.
That was Alexander Steinlen.
Okay.
That's the famous Steinlen poster that many people have seen. But everybody's seen it, but does anybody know what it actually is?
Yeah, exactly. That there was this place called the Black Cat, and that it was named after this mangy stray cat that somebody found and said, this cat represents the spirit of this place.
It was definitely the underground. But they would present their material, even though at times it was, I don't want to say naughty. I use the word edgy, but it was never without an intellectual edge. These were smart people.
Right, and a very kind of what you might call grounded, street-level intellectual edge as opposed to a kind of academic library.
Right. Aristide Bruant, who owned at one time, he performed at the Shanwa. When the Shanwa moved, there was a scuffle. And they actually moved the Shanwa to a different location because a server got killed, actually. So Aristide Bruant took over the Shanwa space and opened his own space. He was one of the big stars. And then later he owned a place called Le Lapin à Gia, which still exists in Montmartre today. In fact, Steve Martin wrote a play about Picasso at the Lapin à Gia.
The Agile Rabbit.
The Agile Rabbit, exactly. So we were talking about street people, the cabaret performers being the voice of the street and the voice of the people, and that's absolutely true. Aristide Bruant was actually sent to make his way on the streets of Paris at the age of 15. He came from an impoverished landowner, so he was just scruffy and extremely talented and a natural performer. So Aristide Bruant, during the course of his career, owned 3 cabarets in Montmartre.
Now, when you go there today, I know there are like commemorative plaques and probably a cafe, but that scene is gone. I mean, we then had World War I and World War II, and does anything of that remain, or the feeling of it remain in Paris?
You know, I wish I could. I wish I knew. I don't really know. I know Le Lapin à Gia is still there, and I still believe they have performers there. But it's not like it was. It was so necessary in those days. People needed a creative outlet.
And, I mean, in the absence of social media from remote distances, I mean, you and I can talk to each other through Facebook or whatever, but in, you know, a pre-technological era of that kind, you had to get together with people in order to share in that way. And the intensity, I mean, I just imagine the intensity of what was happening in those places, those cabarets.
Yeah, it was intense. And just to give you an idea of how famous some of these people actually were, there was a gentleman by the name of Harry Fragson. He was British, and he earned his living imitating French performers. And they say about Harry that his French was so good, you never knew if you were speaking to a Frenchman speaking English or an Englishman speaking French. And he wrote, his songs actually were lovely and romantic. They weren't necessarily satirical. But he was murdered by his father because his father thought that he was having a relationship with his mistress. And his father murdered him and then later killed himself. And when they buried Harry Fragson in the Père Lachaise Cemetery in 1913, 50,000 people showed up.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I had a hard time actually believing that, but I've read it in 2 or 3 different sources. That's what they say. 50,000 people in this one cemetery.
That's more than Zozobra.
That's a lot of people. Yeah, it's probably the same amount, or roughly the same. So they were big stars. And then there was a wonderful woman named Yvette Guilbert. So I talk about her in my show, too.
Who is she?
She's a marvelous singer, marvelous performer. She was made the French ambassadress of song and by the French government. And she was an expert on medieval folklore. And she wrote a book called The Art of Singing. And she was adored by George Bernard Shaw and Toulouse-Lautrec. And she was just a marvelous performer from that time period. And I actually do one of her songs in my show called Le Fiac. Le Fiac means the horse-drawn cab. And it's about a wife who's having an affair in a horse-drawn cab. And the husband finds out about it. Anyway, he says, "That's my wife I hear in that cab." And he runs into the street. And then he slips in some slush. And the cab runs him over. And it's a funny little old French tale from around the 1880s. French song. It's adorable.
So the spirit of France in so many ways.
In so many ways. And then, in the first part of my show, when I talk about what was Paris like during those days, the bicycle had just come into proliferation in the streets of Paris around 1871.
Which was a huge liberation for so many people, and including women who could get around.
Totally. That's what Gertrude Stein always said. Gertrude said the single greatest innovation for the liberation of woman was the invention of the bicycle.
Yeah.
And Baron Haussmann had just completed his massive undertaking, his architectural and engineering designings of the city. That had all been completed. And the bourgeoisie was revitalizing as a result of the Industrial Revolution. And there was prostitution in the streets, and there was a big disparity between the rich and the poor, and people went to the guillotine for God knows what. So there were injustices. There was indeed darkness in the City of Light.
Yeah.
Now guess how long France continued to use the guillotine. Guess when they finally stopped using the guillotine.
You tell us.
1977.
No.
Can you believe it? Yeah.
That's amazing. Wow. At least it's gone now.
It is.
But we're talking about cabaret. Well, the thing is, I think what makes so many of these really rich artistic epochs in history so rich is that there was so much bad, as you say, so much darkness that they had to bring to the light or satirize or critique or ruminate about in one way or another. And it's a very fertile ground from which a lot of art grows.
Absolutely. And I can't think of the guy's name who wrote a book called The Banquet Years. Yes, Roger Shattuck. Wonderful book.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's just about time to go, but we're talking to Charles Titchener, and the show is called Cabaret and the Spirit of Montmartre, and it's music, imagery, spoken word, and exploration of the French cabaret, and that is Friday and Saturday, the 12th and 13th of September, and Sunday, the 14th of September at 2 o'clock, all at the Santa Fe Playhouse. For more information and reservations, you can go to 988-4262. Charles Titchener, thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Hey, thanks, Mary Charlotte.